The views and opinions expressed within this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, advertising partners, or ownership of Forever Communication. The It's All Good podcast, hosted by Lorraine Gossett Jones, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital.
This is Lorraine Jones with 15 minutes of good news, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital. You know, as I prepare for podcasts and really just life in general, I'm kind of a person that's always asking, you know, what lesson can I learn from this? And I hope in some small way that's what I do with this podcast. You know, just what can we learn and make us think about what we can learn from a certain situation or a certain person? But do you think you can learn any important life lessons from an animal? Probably never thought about it. You know, humans are naturally curious about animals. Animals fascinate and captivate children for sure. They have a natural appeal for animals. I know this because my almost 2-year-old grandson, Beau, some of the first sounds he could make were animal sounds. Before he could even say actual words, you know, he could woof like a dog and moo like a cow and quack like a duck, and he has a really good cock-a-doodle-doo, like a rooster, and he's never seen these animals before, probably, except in a book. And he loves dinosaurs, and so does his Lolo. We're curious about animals, but what can we learn from them? Well, let me give you some examples. From the lion, we can learn courage and perseverance. You know, the king of the jungle is a symbol of courage and strength, and from him, we can learn about bravery in the face of challenges and how to overcome fear and take on these challenges with great confidence. And from the ant, we can learn about cooperation and community. Ants work together in a very highly organized and efficient manner, don't they? From ants, we can learn about teamwork, and we can develop a sense of community and realize that working together can lead to great success. How about the dolphin? From the dolphin, we can see curiosity and creativity. Dolphins are known for their playful and curious nature. They're really intelligent creatures, and they're constantly exploring and learning. And from then, we develop a sense of wonder and excitement for the world around us, and we can learn that there's always something new to discover. Now, what about a dog? From a dog, we can learn loyalty and friendship. Dogs have such devotion to their owners. They're always there for us, no matter what. If you don't believe me, try to go to the bathroom or take a bath by yourself with a 100-pound lab in the house. They are there. They are there with you. From these animals, we can learn to be there for our family and friends and to truly value the relationships in our lives. What about a spider? From a spider, we can learn the importance of a never-give-up attitude. Have you ever knocked down a spider web, like on the porch at night with a broom, only to see that web built back the very next day, and the next day, and the next day? From the elephant, we can learn respect and how to treat our elders. Elephants travel in packs, and the oldest one always is giving the honor of leading the way. From the wolves, we learn about family values and sticking together. Wolves also travel in packs. They act as a family. They hunt as a family. They eat as a family. They look after each other. From them, we can learn how to live in unity as one big family. Now, I wonder, does the Bible ever tell us about that we could learn something from an animal? Yep, it sure does. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus is talking to the disciples about the fierce opposition that they would face. And he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And sometimes they use the word gentle as doves. In the ancient Near East, the serpent was regarded as the wisest of beasts. So Jesus was telling them to have a cautious wisdom. A cautious wisdom was necessary as they traveled about. Be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. That's good advice for anyone. And then Proverbs 6:6-8 gives us more lessons from an ant. It uses the word sluggard, which means lazy. And it reads, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, no overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Now there's two lessons there. The ant had no guide, no overseer, no ruler, meaning that the ant would not have to have a taskmaster standing over it to make it work. The ant was a self-starter. The ant was self-motivated. And then the second lesson, that the ant was wise enough to prepare for predictable circumstances, had enough food stored up when needed. And did you know that there are many instances in the Bible where animals obeyed God even when humans would not? Yeah, we can learn a lot from animals. You know, the animal that I want to talk about today is my favorite animal. And my favorite animal, I guess, is actually an insect, the butterfly. But first, I'm going to talk about what made me love butterflies so much. A lot of the presentations that I do are to women. And it's a lot of times about stress and challenges and pressing on according to God's word. And, you know, anxiety and depression in this country, they're at an all-time high. I looked on a website, and according to the CDC, 41.5% of adults in our country now report recent symptoms of anxiety and depression. That's almost half of us. And it affects men and women alike. I'm going to tell you a story about a friend of mine. Her husband had been feeling ill for several days. Several weeks, actually. Finally, his wife convinced him to go see the doctor. Men don't want to go to the doctor, but she convinced him. And she went with him to the doctor's office. He had a lot of tests run, and after his checkup, the doctor called the wife into the office to talk to her alone. And the doctor said, "Your husband is suffering from a very serious illness combined with severe stress. And if you don't do the following things, your husband may not get over this." And this is what he told her. "Each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant and make sure he's in a good mood. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal and even deliver it to his office if you need to. For dinner, prepare him a gourmet feast. And then don't burden him with chores. He's probably had a hard day. Don't discuss your problems with him. It'll only make his stress worse. After dinner, draw him a warm bath followed by a nightly body massage. And at night, satisfy his every whim. If you can do this for the next 10 or 12 months, I think your husband will regain his health completely." Well, on the way home, the worried husband asked his wife, "Well, what did the doctor say?" And the wife said, "Honey, I hate to have to tell you this, but he said you're going to die." That's one of my favorite jokes. But the fact is, stress affects all of us, but it affects men and women differently. And women, I'm going to talk to you right now. Women are multitaskers. And I discovered that a long time ago. I discovered that I can put on mascara, give a spelling test, write a check out for lunch money, all while driving my sons to school. Now, that's a scary thought, but I can do it. And I bet you have too. Women, we juggle work, home, family, community, and civic responsibilities on a daily basis. And I'm aging myself, but if any of you out there remember the old, I guess it was the Ed Sullivan show where he would have these acts. And this one guy would spin plates on these dowel sticks, like china plates. He'd get one plate going, and then he'd he'd let it spin, and then he'd start a second one, and then a third one, and then a fourth one, and then the first one would wobble, and the second one would wobble, and he'd get them going. And I was always amazed at that, spinning plates. And that's what I've always said that I do every day. I just spin plates and try to keep everything going. Can you imagine men doing what we do in the course of a day? Now, men, I'm not picking on you. I know more about what women go through because I am one. That's all. You've probably heard the phrase, a woman's work is never done. And it's true. It feels that way to us. Sometimes it's hard just to get through the day. And some of the reasons are, number one, we can't say no. We can't say no. Or we can't say it very often. Then we waste time or we don't manage it properly. And we always feel rushed. We don't rest. All those things. Also, we're givers. As women, giving is familiar to us. It's our comfort zone. Sometimes women determine our own value by how much we do for others. Ouch, that stings a little, doesn't it? But that happens. Women tend to be more sensitive, more empathetic, and tend to have better people skills than men do. We feel things. I know I do. We cry with people. We're able to get into their heart. I cry every day about something, usually with somebody, for somebody. I don't even have to know what they're crying about. If I see somebody crying, it makes me cry. And then also, women tend to be perfectionists. Lots of times, we want to be the best worker, the best wife, the best mother, the best daughter, the best friend. We want to look good. We want to exercise. We want to have intellectual pursuits, spiritual pursuits, time with our spouse. We want to be involved in our kids' activities. But you know what? Women can get the job done. I always want them on my team. When I worked for Baptist Hospital all those years and we'd have a team of women, I was like, yes, there were women that would be on my team. I knew we were going to get things done. You know, I got an email or something last Christmas that I think describes the efficiency of women perfectly. It asked the question, do you know what would have happened if there would have been three wise women instead of three wise men? Well, they would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and they would have brought more practical gifts. I would add another one. If it had been three wise women, they could have found some room at the inn. You know, think about that. There's no room at the inn. All these people are traveling. You know, there were men in there. You know, I'd have been knocking on doors. You know, two guys bunked up. Hey, bud, go room next door with them. I got a woman about ready to deliver. We need this spot. You know, I think, or the lobby of the inn. We'd have cleared some space. We'd have found something besides a stable. I just have that feeling. So let's recap. Women are multitaskers. We tend to be perfectionists. And then we're very sensitive. That's the perfect storm. That's the perfect storm. So all this busyness, and then big things happen. Real storms come. A divorce. The death of a loved one. Abuse. A serious illness, loss of income, loss of a job. Something big happens. But I've shared this scripture with you many times. I love this scripture from James. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Count it all joy. Rejoice when you go through these storms. Because you know that this trying of your faith is going to bring forth spiritual maturity. And God's going to use it for His good. Now, back to why I love butterflies. My mother was diagnosed with colon cancer probably in 98 or 97. She had it for a couple of years and did pretty well most of the time. But towards the end of 1999, she was feeling pretty ill and got put in the hospital. At Christmas time, actually, she ended up passing January 12th, and we buried her on her birthday, January 15th of 2000. So that's when this all took place. But she, my three sisters lived up there near her in the same town, actually. So they always were the ones that got her to the doctors and took care of her when she was having a crisis or whatever. And I got home as often as I could during those times. I lived 10 hours away. But I went up there during that time. She called me and told me she just wanted to hear my voice. And I could tell she was kind of going down and she was scared. So I went up there, and for the last 2 weeks of her life, I just lived on that cot with her. And we did some things. And I thought to myself, you know, she brought me into this world, and I'm going to help her out of it the best I know how to do. I read to her from her favorite books. She loved Irma Bombeck. And she had lots of her books, and we would read and laugh at those books. She loved the music of Jim Reeves. And back then we had a cassette player, and we'd put the cassette in and we'd listen to Jim Reeves. And my mother was from Long Island, New York, near the water, of course, and she loved the beach. So one day we had beach day. I brought in suntan lotion and beach towels and beach music, and we had beach day, and it was fun. And as the days clicked by, she was still holding her own, but we never talked of dying. She couldn't, and I didn't. And just one day it came to me, and I said, you know what, Mom, if anything ever happens to you, that's how I put it, if anything ever happens to you, I'm always going to remember you when I see a butterfly. And I was just thinking, all I was thinking about was, you know, butterflies just flit around so much. And she was like that, and always worked and had a lot of energy, and she was fun. And I said, and she goes, okay. And that was kind of just between us. We didn't tell anybody. Well, again, it was right after Christmas. So I went down to the gift shop at the hospital, and they had ornaments on sale. And one thing that they had were all these glass butterflies. And I bought up what they had, and I took it to her, and we found some, I let my sisters in on the story, and we found some butterfly pins down there, and we wore them. And one day, the nurse knocked on the door and said, hey, I have a puppy. Would your mom like to see a puppy? And Mom said, yes. So she brought the puppy in, and Mom cuddled it and held it. And the nurse came over to take it back. And she said, hey, by the way, turn around and look at that butterfly's bottom. And we turned it around and looked, and it was the perfect shape of a butterfly. And Mom and I just kind of looked at each other. And, you know, when she passed, and we had to go to the funeral home, and just sobbing as we're sitting there waiting for the gentleman to come in, and he gave us some pamphlets, just sat there on the table, and just thinking, how am I even going to get through this? And I just looked down, and on the pamphlet in the corner was a beautiful butterfly. And I've had many times in my life when I've seen butterflies at just the right time, and they lift my spirits, and they remind me of my mother. And so that's why I love butterflies, for this reason. But also, there is a lesson to be learned from butterflies, which I learned later. And I'm going to read it to you. It's author unknown, so I can't give anybody credit for it, but I'm going to read you this butterfly story. And it says, a man found a cocoon of a butterfly. One day, a small opening appeared, and he sat and watched the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through that little hole. It pushed, and it squirmed, and it pushed, and it didn't seem like it was making any progress. And at times it was struggling and struggling, and the struggle was so intense that it seemed like it was near death. It appeared as it had gotten as far as it could go, and it could go no further. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and he snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, but it had a swollen body and small, shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly because he fully expected that at any moment the wings would enlarge and expand and be able to support the body, and that it would fly. But that never happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It was never able to fly. What the man did in his kindness and haste, what he didn't understand was that restricting cocoon and the struggle, that intense struggle required for the butterfly to get through that tiny opening were God's way of forcing fluid and blood from the body of the butterfly into its wings so that it would be ready for flight once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our lives. If God allowed us to go through our lives without any obstacles, it would cripple us. We would not be as strong as we could have been, and we could never fly. So I love that lesson. We can't have spiritual maturity without trials, without struggles. We can't be everything we're meant to be without struggles. But God is there. God is working all things out for our good and for His purpose. Keep going. What a powerful lesson from an animal that weighs less than a paperclip and only lives for a few weeks. But I wondered, what do butterflies do when it rains? What do butterflies do in a storm? When a storm comes, when it rains, butterflies generally take cover and remain still with their wings closed until the rain has passed, because that constant battering could damage them, just like constant battering can damage us. So they're still. If they do get wet, butterflies will remain still until the water evaporates off their body. Then they will bask in the sun to dry their wings. So, be like the butterfly when a storm comes. Find safety. Seek shelter in His arms. Be still. It's okay to rest during a storm. But as soon as possible, start basking in the sun, the real sun, and fly. This is Lorraine Jones, and you've been listening to 15 Minutes of Good News, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital.
The It's All Good podcast, hosted by Lorraine Gossett Jones, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital, delivering the promise of quality health care.
At Baptist, we help patients sleep better. If you're having trouble sleeping, finding answers can be a healthy move. Poor sleep habits can lead to diabetes, obesity, unnecessary stress, and high blood pressure. Let us help you do more than dream about sleeping. Please visit BaptistOnline.org to learn more about signs and symptoms and download our sleep diary to help measure your sleep quality. To schedule an evaluation with one of our sleep disorders experts, call 731-201-3603. Baptist Memorial Hospital, Union City. Get better with a leader.